Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. City officials present options for downtown Wichita parking. We have the story.
Massive wildfire threatens homes in Colorado. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Suspect in a stolen vehicle kills a woman in northeast Wichita. I'm Dan O'Neill.
The city of Wichita is moving forward with plans for paid parking. During a public meeting Monday night, officials unveiled four new paid parking options for Old Town, Delano, and Downtown. City Council Member Brandon Johnson and Assistant City Manager Troy Anderson presented the options and then answered questions for about 2 hours. The proposals include a 75-cent hourly rate and no fees for Sunday parking. A final public meeting will be held Thursday, November 7th at 6 p.m. at the Kansas Leadership Center, 325 East Douglas. City staff will present the proposals at an evening meeting of the Wichita City Council Tuesday, November 19th.
A Hutchinson woman was killed when a suspect in a stolen vehicle crashed into her car in northeast Wichita.
It happened Monday afternoon on 29th east of Rock Road. Police say it began earlier in the day when officers found a suspected stolen vehicle near downtown. They followed it to the Walmart parking lot at 29th and Rock Road and used spike strips to blow out two of the tires. However, the car hit a police vehicle and drove off. Police say the suspect then stole a van from the area of 35th and Webb Road and crashed into a 43-year-old woman who died at the scene. The 24-year-old suspect was hospitalized in critical condition. A second suspect was taken into custody. No names have been released. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
A massive fire in Teller County, Colorado, has burned approximately 90 acres of land and threatens around 700 homes in the area. Teller County Sheriff Jason Mikesell is urging those who want to catch a glimpse of the blaze to stay away.
We need you to stay off the roads and out of our way. So when what we call looky-loos show up, we really don't want you there. And understand, too, is some of the smoke is hitting a pretty low level. So we're getting, people are getting smoke inhalation and different things. So please stay out of the area for that.
State of emergency has been declared for the area, and mandatory evacuation and pre-evacuation orders have been put in place.
The International Association of Firefighters, Local 135, representing Wichita firefighters, has filed an ethics complaint against Wichita Mayor Lily Wu. The complaint alleging that the mayor had a meeting with Wichita Fire Chief Tammy Snow, telling her to lay off 42 employees. It claims that the mayor used improper influence and instruction on Snow, violating the city's ethics code. However, Union President Ted Bush says he was not there during the alleged conversation between Wu and Snow.
Again, I wasn't in the room. She may have not said it. I don't know. I know what was told to me. And so that's for them to decide and for them to investigate and for her to defend herself. That's fine. I'm not saying she did it.
The mayor denies the accusations, saying her support for public safety, including the Wichita Fire Department, is well documented.
Mayor Wu tells KNSS News he recently attended a meeting of Wichita and Sedgwick County law enforcement and court officers concerning public safety.
What I took away from that was the importance of this collaboration. It's really critical that people understand that even though our police officers may arrest someone, then they go through the legal process, and that's across the street at Sedgwick County.
Wu commented during Mondays with the mayor on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show on KNSS. KNSS News Time now, 7:04, 4 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Got the exhibition basketball action tonight for the K-State men and the KU men. So we'll preview those games coming up in sports.
Two ballot drop boxes in the Pacific Northwest were damaged in a suspected arson attack. That story and more coming up on the KNSS Morning News. The KNSS Morning News, 7:08 now, 8 minutes past 7 o'clock. On this Tuesday morning, two ballot drop boxes in the Pacific Northwest damaged in a suspected arson attack just over a week before Election Day, destroying hundreds of ballots at one location in Vancouver, Washington. At the other, in neighboring Portland, Oregon, it appears a fire suppression system worked to contain the blaze and limited the number of ballots damaged to three. Authorities are reviewing surveillance footage as they try to identify who is responsible.
President Joe Biden heading to Baltimore today, talking infrastructure and jobs.
President Biden is scheduled to talk about his Investing in America agenda, specifically about rebuilding infrastructure, the climate crisis, and creating union jobs. He's made a few appearances in Maryland already this year. In August, he and Vice President Kamala Harris were in Prince George's County to discuss Medicare prices, and earlier this year, he was in Baltimore to get a firsthand look at the Key Bridge collapse. President Biden is also set to deliver a pro-union message later this week during a trip to Philadelphia. The White House says his schedule also includes making campaign calls with just 1 week to go until Election Day. Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
A $7 billion development project dubbed A City Within a City is entering the planning stages in Phoenix, Arizona.
The hub named Halo Vista will be built around a manufacturing complex developed by Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, TSMC. The complex is being developed by Mac Real Estate Group in collaboration with McCourt Partners. TSMC is elected to spend at least $65 billion, and the project will include 2,300 acres with more than 28 million square feet of mixed-use development capacity, which will include up to 8,960 residential units as well as industrial, retail, and office spaces. The developers bought the land at an Arizona State Land Department auction in May. The plants are expected to create 10,000 permanent jobs, with another 80,000 expected to be introduced in the surrounding development. Ted Lindner, Fox News.
The deer hunt in Maine this fall comes with a strong advisory from the state about eating the meat.
The Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife has issued a do not eat wildlife consumption advisory for several communities in the central part of the state. In a statement, the department says they found high levels of PFAS in wildlife samples. These PFAS, or so-called forever chemicals, are linked to human health problems like cancer. The department says they based the findings after testing 54 deer and 55 turkeys in the area. New Hampshire, Michigan, Wisconsin, they've also issued consumption advisories for deer hunts with PFAS also detected there. These chemicals are used in many household items, firefighting foams, and in some fertilizers. John Saucier, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7-11, 11 minutes at 7 o'clock.
And we've still got this traffic accident, actually more than one now. This is westbound on Kellogg. And it is right around Washington Street. They've got that ramp closed, and now we've had a second crash in that same area. So that's really starting to slow things down. Also, on all of those ramps there, Kellogg and I-135, which is right by there, we've got some really slow-moving traffic, more or less, on all of those ramps right now. The ones that are open, remember, we've got some ramps there closed due to road construction as well. Might want to avoid that area entirely this morning. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
And now the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronnell Williams. Good morning, Ronnell.
Hey, good morning, Steve and Ted. How are you guys doing?
Doing real good.
Yeah, we're all hot and windy.
Yeah, we're just about to blow over, but other than that, we're fine.
You know what? Today going to be just like yesterday. We actually broke the record high yesterday, getting all the way up to 90 degrees. Today, not going to be as warm, but still well above the norm for this time of year, expecting a high of 83. Now, because it's going to be warm, windy, with south winds at 20 to 40 miles an hour, and still saying dry, that means fire danger is still going to be high, too. So we all need to make sure that we're doing our part, not burning anything. Make sure that we're disposing of cigarette butts properly. I know we may sound like a broken record, but very important that we just continue to preach that message to make sure that we're not exhausting our authorities as far as, keeping the fire threat down. Mostly cloudy skies tonight, and we'll transition from high fire danger to needing to make sure that we're watching out for storms. So we'll have a 20% chance late tonight into early Wednesday. Storms going to track through the area during the day on Wednesday, and as they do, we'll need to make sure that we're being weather aware, because some of those storms could be strong to severe, and all forms of severe weather going to be a possibility. That means an isolated tornado cannot be ruled out. So this is going to be during the day on Wednesday. Going to start to turn cooler, too, as a front moves through. High of 73 degrees. It looks like things dry out just in time for trick-or-treaters on Thursday, but you'll still want to make sure that you throw an extra layer on, especially the little ones, the little ghouls and goblins. It's going to be much cooler. High of only 60 degrees on Thursday. Wrapping up October and heading into November, feeling a lot more like fall. 65 degrees on Friday for the first day of November. Only a 10% chance of rain. Those chances jumping up to 60%, though, Saturday, Sunday, with highs in the middle to upper 60s. Rain chances continue into the start of next week, next Monday, with a high of 66. Right now, we're at 70 degrees. Winds already off to a strong start this morning out of the south at 24 miles an hour and gusting up to 39. And when it comes to our skies, just a few clouds right now, but you will gradually notice a little bit more cloud cover moving in.
So at this point, it looks like a trick-or-treat time for the kids, or at least not raining at the time.
Yeah, and you know what? As far as that moisture that we're expecting, you know, it's going to move out just in time for them.
All right. Thank you, Ronell. That's the KSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast. With Kansas Today meteorologist Ronell Williams. Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS. 7:14 on this Tuesday, October 29th. On this date in 2012, Superstorm Sandy slammed ashore in New Jersey and slowly marched inland, devastating coastal communities and causing widespread power outages. That storm and its aftermath were blamed for at least 182 deaths.
That was bad.
In the U.S. 2012. Hurricane Sandy. Birthdays today. I found one that interested me, and that is Richard Dreyfuss. 77 today.
About that.
Won the Academy Award for Best Actor in 1977 for The Goodbye Girl. At the time, the youngest ever actor, age 30, to win.
Really?
And was nominated in the same category for Mr. Holland's Opus in 1995. Some of his films, how about American Graffiti? I think that may have been his first one. Where he's one of those teenagers running around.
Man, he's another one of that amazing cast in that show, in that movie.
Jaws, 1975.
Yes.
I thought he was excellent.
He was really good in that.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
He's really good in that, too.
And actually, The Goodbye Girl in 77, that I think was just really entertaining. I thought he was terrific. Marsha Mason was good, too.
Yes.
That's a terrific movie, I think. He's 77 years old today, so there you go. The guy who was the little scientist helping out to bring Jaws to justice there. You all right?
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Campbell's Soup.
Need a bigger boat.
Yeah. Campbell's Soup released its annual Thanksgiving poll on America's favorite side dishes.
Well, they haven't gotten rid of the word soup yet?
No. Campbell's Soup. No, yeah, that's right.
I thought they were getting rid
of that. They're trying to, yeah. And in a major upset, mashed potatoes, not number one here as we go into Thanksgiving. Nope. It's fallen to number two this year.
Oh, my.
Behind stuffing. Oh, I don't agree with that.
That is huge. This is huge controversy right here.
We could just have divide right down the middle on this. Top five are stuffing, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, green bean casserole, and mac and cheese. Mac and cheese. What do you think?
I've never eaten mac and cheese ever in my life at Thanksgiving dinner.
You know, I don't think I have either.
I don't think it's ever been an option.
56% of Americans like Thanksgiving sides more than the entree. So turkey, ham, or some sort of nut loaf is, if you're a vegan. 38% say they'd be fine to fill their plate with just side dishes. Also, 43% of adults say they will celebrate Friendsgiving this year. I'm not sure what that means, but Thanksgiving, not
that
Friendsgiving.
That means you don't get together with family. You're getting together with friends.
Well, that's silly. Okay.
Well, if you're not in the same city with your family.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's what you do.
I guess so.
What, you know, the listeners did not see you make a very strong reaction to sweet potatoes.
Oh, I don't like them.
Okay. I wondered what was going on.
My wife, a lot of people do. I understand that, but you.
Not you? Not
no,
for you?
No. Okay.
I still can't believe you guys aren't down for stuffing.
Stuffing's a little
boring.
Yeah. Well, I just like those good old mashed potatoes with gravy.
You're probably eating stuffing that comes out of a box.
They don't.
If you make it yourself, it's fantastic.
Eh, yeah, I'm just not a stuffing guy.
I'd have time for that.
Do you have a number one recipe?
I've got my recipe that I use. It's very, very good.
Huh. All right. Well, one they didn't mention here is good old corn on the cob, which. I make cream corn. Or cream corn.
Yeah, which
corn
is just,
something
is
corny.
Just fantastic to me. That's my preference over stuffing.
Right.
It's got corn dish.
Got some deviled eggs, too.
Well, that doesn't hurt.
I'm getting really into
things. You know, you realize we're less than a month away.
We're not even to Halloween yet.
Yesterday was a month away from Thanksgiving.
How about that?
Late Thanksgiving this year, too, the 28th.
The 28th. All right, 7:18 now, Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS. It's time for a look at sports now with Ted Woodward. Ted?
Yeah, we got exhibition men's basketball tonight here in the state for Kansas State and Kansas. In Manhattan tonight, it's Kansas State hosting Fort Hays State in exhibition play. K-State has won 29 straight exhibition home games at Bramlage Coliseum. Pre-game coverage for the K-State Wildcats at 6 o'clock, tipped off at 7 o'clock tonight in Manhattan. Fort Hays and Kansas State. Listen live to the Wildcats on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Over in Lawrence, you got the number one ranked team in the nation, Kansas, hosting Washburn, the Jayhawks and the Ichabods. This is the second and final exhibition game for Kansas, tuning up for the season. KU, by the way, has won 55 straight exhibition games in Allen Fieldhouse. That'll tip off at 7 o'clock tonight in Lawrence for KU and Washburn. Great honor for Kansas City Royals catcher Salvador Perez, named the winner of the Major League Baseball Roberto Clemente Award for character, community involvement, and philanthropy. The award was presented last night to the 9-time All-Star, Game 3 of the World Series. Perez and his family, they do a lot of good works, and I'll just name a couple here. They give out bags of food and kitchen supplies to 2,000 homes every winter in the neediest parts in his hometown of Valencia, Venezuela. And that directly impacts, over the course of the years, that's directly impacted more than 10,000 families during the past decade.
Really?
He's got a youth baseball league there. He gives equipment to kids and financial support to the families. And, I mean, the list goes on and on. He pays for surgeries for kids with cleft lips. He's given thousands and thousands of toys to children's hospitals. He supports police officers. I mean, the list goes on and on. Very deserving philanthropy award. Given to Kansas City Royals catcher by Major League Baseball, Salvador Perez. All right, speaking of baseball, last night was Game 3 of the World Series in Yankee Stadium, Yankees-Dodgers.
It is a fastball. It's ripped down the line. It is gone! A fifth consecutive World Series game with a Freddie Freeman home run. And the Dodgers are on the board first in Game 3.
On Fox TV last night, the Dodgers jumped out to a 2-0 lead in the first inning at Yankee Stadium. Dodgers held on to win Game 3 of the World Series 4-2 and get within one victory of their second title in 5 years.
One more win. That's all I care about right now. I don't care how it happens. I just want to get one more win.
Freddie Freeman with Fox TV after the Dodgers 4-2 victory over the Yankees in Game 3 of the World Series. The Dodgers led 4-0 in the ninth inning. And with two outs, Alex Verdugo hit a two-run home run for New York. But that was it. 4-2, the final score. Winning pitcher, Walker Buehler. He threw five shutout innings before six Dodgers relievers finished the game. The Yankees' Aaron Judge went 0-3 last night. He's just 1-for-12 in the series with seven strikeouts. No team has ever come back to win the World Series after it lost the first three games. No team has even pushed the series to a Game 6 after it lost the first three. The Dodgers have four chances to win the series, leading 3-0. Game 4 is tonight in New York, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Fox. I'm Jared Max.
Yeah, that report from Fox. And speaking of baseball, I know what we were doing 10 years ago on this night. It was Game 7 of the World Series at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City, the Royals and the San Francisco Giants. Winner wins the World Series. Royals were down 3-2, you might remember, in the bottom of the ninth inning. Eric Hosmer struck out. Billy Butler pop fly. Who would come up to the plate? Former Wichita Wrangler Alex Gordon hit that single to left field, and then the center fielder muffed it, and Alex ran all the way to third base. Royals have the tying run on third base.
Yeah.
Game 7 of the World Series. Ah, and then Salvador Perez pop fly into foul territory that ended it. Giants won the World Series 4-3. Tying run on third base. But, of course, we all know that the very next year, the Royals convincingly won the World Series. But, gosh, they lost it in Game 7 against the Giants 10 years ago on this night. That's sports with Steve and Ted.
7:23 now here on this Tuesday morning. Coming up, House Call for Health. Learning disabilities get a spotlight this month. That's on the way with Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS.
Wichita's nationally recognized Marconi Awarded radio show. This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh. Ted Woodward, 7:30 on this Tuesday morning. 70 degrees now. A Kansas man has been sentenced for the attempted murder of a woman. 49-year-old Samuel Hall was sentenced to more than 21 years for attacking a woman in a Pratt motel April 2nd. The police say he stabbed the woman several times while her two minor children slept next to her. He fled, leading officers on a dangerous chase while striking some of their vehicles. The woman was treated at the hospital for her injuries.
Wichita Mayor Lily Wu tells KNSS News she'd like to see more transparency in handling travel plans.
On November 5th, we will vote on how travel will be listed on the agenda so that you can see, A, where we're going, who is paying for it, and what the purpose is. And that will be not just for travel that is paid for by another organization, but also travel paid for by the taxpayer.
And Wu commented during Mondays with the Mayor on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show on KNSS.
Former President Donald Trump spent Monday in Georgia hoping to shore up support a week before Election Day.
Former President Trump promised a lot to the Atlanta crowd during an evening rally.
The strongest economy, the most secure borders, the safest cities, the most powerful military, the best trade deals.
But to do it, he said it will take more than Election Day votes. He shared with faith leaders in Powder Springs earlier Monday.
We're leading in all the early votes, and that's unusual. Usually the Republicans aren't leading in early votes.
The former president is scheduled to make stops in Pennsylvania today following a morning press conference at his Mar-a-Lago home. Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
Vice President Kamala Harris and her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, campaigned in Ann Arbor, Michigan yesterday.
The Vice President and Governor Walz stressing freedoms are on the line in this election.
Look, Kamala and I are offering a new way forward, where we lower costs for working-class people and middle-class folks, and everyone gets an opportunity to get ahead, not just get by.
Vowing to protect reproductive rights, reduce housing costs, and cut taxes for small businesses.
I have a plan to support our seniors so they can grow older with dignity and so their families are not overwhelmed by the cost of home health care.
The vice president also responding to folks protesting the war in Gaza, pledging to do everything in her power, if elected, to end it. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
The pastor of a church in Minnesota has been murdered in Africa.
The former lead pastor of a church in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, has been killed after moving his family to Angola for a long-term Christian missionary trip. Lakes Area Vineyard Church making the announcement, saying Bo Schroyer was killed in an act of violence. Details of his death not revealed. Schroyer moved with his family to Angola in 2021 into a remote village with no electricity, mail service, sewer, or water systems. He leaves behind a wife and five children. Sue Guzman, Fox News.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Noticing more clouds move in as we go from partly to mostly cloudy skies. Winds are still going to be gusty and howling out of the south at 20 to 40 miles an hour. Staying warm, too, with a high of 83 degrees, needing to watch out for a few storms late tonight. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Now partly cloudy, gusty south wind gusting up to 37 miles per hour. 70 degrees at KNSS. 7:34 now on a Tuesday morning. Time for our weekly chat with Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Steve and Ted. Great to be with you.
Yeah, pretty windy out there, but we might have some rain tonight. How about that?
It's the wind is miserable, and it has been just howling. And, you know, we've had several grass fires here the last few days, one up obviously at K-96 and Webb, and the other one just yesterday at 53rd and West Street. And a lot of credit goes to our firefighters for keeping those things under control in the midst of all this wind. So, but yeah, it's miserable, and I hope we get a little rain here the next few days. I think that's well deserved.
Well, you mentioned something. Maybe we ought to talk about that for just a little bit here, and that is our firefighters are, especially when it comes to those big grass fires. It's usually county guys going out there, but those are. I understand that the grass fire on a windy day is the most dangerous fire they can encounter.
Yeah, well, we got a couple conditions that make that a really explosive condition, and the first is that it's dry. I mean, it's incredibly dry out. We have obviously been in drought and not had a lot of rain for a few months now, and I think there was is indicative of that yesterday. You saw in the sky because of all the wind. That wasn't cloud cover. This was a lot of dust and dirt that's in the air just because of the dry conditions. So you take dry conditions and you multiply that with wind, and you've got a really dangerous situation. And these firefighters are trained so well because of just where we are located, and particularly Sedgwick County Fire, with all the rural areas and unincorporated areas they have to cover, is they are experts in managing grass fires. And the greatest example of this is what took place last week at K96 and Webb Road. Is that fire that took place just north of Stryker in that field, that was getting out of control quickly. In fact, it never had to come to the light of day, but we were being briefed, and I was being briefed as chairman of the county commission from our emergency management director, Julie Stimson, is we were prepared and drafting an authorization to declare an emergency disaster because this thing was getting out of control quickly. And yet, Sedgwick County Fire, Wichita Fire Department, working together, as they do very frequently, were able to put up a wall of defense and get this thing tamed down to where we were able to protect not just more land, but also homes and businesses in that area. So pretty wild, and a lot of credit goes to our firefighters. They do a fantastic job.
You, we have no Sedgwick County Commission meeting this week, I understand, but is there anything you need to tell us about that's going on with the county? Anything on your notebook there?
Lots of things. I don't usually have a notebook with me this morning because I drop kids off right at 7:30 and jump on the phone with you. So, but there's everybody knows the things that are going on right now, and it's all centered around elections. We are 1 week out from a massive national election. There's a lot of races on the state ballots and local ballots. And the most important thing is to know that there's a lot of opportunities to vote. One of the things that we've worked on with our wonderful election commissioner, Laura Rainwater, who's really guided and led these efforts, is how do we expand access and reduce wait times? What we wanted to accomplish with her lead was we didn't want any polling place in Sedgwick County to have more than 5,000 registered voters assigned to it. That is the one thing that really slows down access and slows down people's interest in voting, is if they know they're going to have to go stand in line for 2 or 3 hours. Many people do it. It's their civic duty. They take it responsibly. But what we can do is expand the access through more polling sites. Starting today, there are 17 new satellite locations that are opening up. Anyone in the county can vote at any of these 17 locations. And then on election day, we have over 100 polling sites available in Sedgwick County. Now, here's the difference. This is very important for your listeners. On election day, Tuesday, November 5th, you have to go to your assigned polling place. I am encouraging everyone to verify where their polling place is because of all that. We've added 25 new polling sites this year. Because of that, nearly 30% of all registered voters in Sedgwick County will have a different polling place than what they voted at last time. So we just encourage everyone, please go to sedgwickcounty.org /elections. You can check your polling site location. That way you know that you're showing up at the right place at the right time. But we're excited about the election staff. We have hundreds and hundreds of people serving in our elections at the polling sites, and we're pretty confident we're going to have a safe, secure, efficient election.
Interviewed Laura Rainwater last week, and she went through the process. And, of course, I went down and voted, and I went through the process. You just come in there. They ask you who you are. They verify who you are. They verify where you live. And then they want to see a photo ID. If you think that's going to be somebody who's going to walk in there and somehow fraudulently cast a vote, you're out of your mind. It can't happen. I'm sorry.
Yeah. they work hard.
They do.
The direction at the state level, but also locally, we work incredibly hard to make sure it's safe and secure and efficient. And there's a lot of information they go through. And if there's ever a question, they don't deny people the opportunity. They'll allow you to fill out a provisional ballot. And then what happens is they go through a process of verifying that provisional ballot and the people that are voting on a provisional ballot. And we actually, there's many stops along that trajectory, the election office and the experts there that are trained in this. But then the canvassers, the board of canvassers is your Sedgwick County commissioners. And anything that's in question, we actually go through manually as we certify the vote. So there's a lot of stops along the path, but our election workers do a fantastic job, and we're really proud and grateful of their efforts.
More importantly, this week is Halloween. What are you going as this year?
I'm going to go as a county commissioner. I think it's pretty scary.
I think didn't you go as David Dennis last year? Was that you? Or?
Yes. likely won't be dressing up.
I'll tell you what, that would frighten the neighborhood kids.
Wow.
Yeah, they think we're coming to raise their taxes. No. My kids will be dressing up. We'll be going out and about and having some fun. And if I'm lucky, I'll be in bed by 9:30. But odds are, we'll be up pretty late that night.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah, no. You have a favorite? While we're doing silly stuff, do you have a favorite candy?
Yeah, I don't know if I have a favorite candy. I'll tell you what, I have a candy I dislike the most, and it's that candy corn stuff.
Oh, my wife!
It's like you're chewing on a bottle of wax.
I agree,
and it's just not my thing. And
that stuff is disgusting.
My wife bought two bags of that last week.
Yes, too much. One of the things that we can, and I'll encourage every parent out there with your kids, is this is an opportunity to teach them about taxation. When they bring those buckets of candy home, you have a right and authority to take a tax of whatever you think is necessary and teach these kids about the value of taxation. And I bet it'll turn their minds on what government does pretty quick.
You know what I learned? That your big brother can take all your candy away from you. That's all.
Yeah, I guess that's taxation.
Doing
that today.
That's taxation there, I guess. All right, well, I hope the kids
are tariff.
Yeah, kids will be safe and sane. You got the World Series on. I don't think the World Series is as big as it used to be, but when we were kids growing up, that was huge, the World Series every year. Wow.
Hey, how about this deal? 3-0 with the Dodgers. Freddie is hit 3 home runs in 3 consecutive games. I want, as a baseball guy, I want people to take notice of something, and there nobody's noticing it, but I notice it because I was trained kind of in this philosophy of hitting. Watch how these Dodgers attack first pitch fastballs. The average major league at the batting average on first pitch fastballs is like 370. And you'll watch, they're trained in this, is they will attack first pitch fastballs. They don't get into 2-strike counts often because they're hitting aggressively early in the count, and they are just banging the ball all around the field. It's really fun to watch how these Dodgers, how aggressive they are. But I wouldn't count the Yankees out just yet. They have an explosive lineup of great pitching, and we'll see where it goes. But no team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit, and I don't imagine it's going to happen this year.
How many, take from the junior high level up or grade school, how many times is that first pitch you see a fastball? Just about 90%, right, or something like that?
Yeah, certainly, yeah. And it's typically, I was told by a legend of baseball, a guy named Gene Stevenson, who I didn't play for in college, but he and I maintained a great relationship, and he told me the greatest 2-strike approach you can have is not getting to 2 strikes. And what he meant by that was just hit fastballs early in the count. You get a good pitch early, don't take it intentionally, be aggressive at the plate. And all his teams always live by that philosophy. I live by that philosophy, and the Dodgers certainly are executing that strategy right now.
All right. My last time at the mound, when I was 11 years old, I would start him off with a knuckleball every time. So there you go.
Well, that's why your career, you're in radio now.
Exactly. Right. That explains a lot.
That's why I'm a knucklehead. All right. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, sir. We'll check with you next week. Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty. Why is it we always wind up talking about baseball with him? He just loves the game.
Great guy. Baseball player.
He's a great, former player. 744, Stephen's Head. Coming up, we got the Wichita Business Journal update. Boeing receives an order for 10 787 Dreamliners.
Really?
Stephen's Head in the morning.
I don't know who will build them, but there's the order.
Stephen's Head in the morning on KNSS. Stephen's Head in the morning, KNSS, 748 here on a Tuesday morning. Three big things.
Three.
Massive wildfire threatens hundreds of homes in Teller County, Colorado.
Two.
A woman from Hutchinson dead after her car was hit by a suspect driving a stolen vehicle in northeast Wichita.
One.
Wichita City officials present options for paid parking in downtown Delano and Old Town. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Okay, continue to avoid westbound Kellogg. Really? Anywhere west of, say, Oliver or so, that's where the backup actually starts right now. The ramp from westbound Kellogg to Washington Street closed due to a traffic accident. There's another traffic accident on Kellogg up just a little ways ahead of this, and this is really backing up traffic. So if you're headed westbound, maybe take a surface street. Don't try and get on Kellogg. It's going to take you a long time to get through there. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Traffic on KNSS is brought to you by Joe DeBrava and Carl's Goodyear Tire. Two locations, downtown at Market and Waterman, and 47th Street South and Broadway. That's in the former Kmart building. You can see it all at carlstire.com. Carl's Goodyear is your home for complete car care.
And we have a wind advisory, mostly sunny and windy today with a high of 83 degrees. 40% chance for rain tonight. The overnight low 67. And then on Wednesday, 90% chance for rain. Tomorrow's high, 74 degrees. Now partly cloudy. South wind gusting to 37 miles per hour. 70 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Weather's brought to you by the Monarch. Whiskey lovers, go to the Monarch for nightcap specials every day. From 10 till midnight, get half-price pints and $7 signature old fashions. The Monarch, West Douglas in historic Delano. Rising prices are influencing car buyers' decision-making.
It's Fox Wheels.
Americans are shifting to more affordable cars amid surging prices. The average cost of a new car, nearly $50,000, 20% higher than 4 years ago, with American consumers turning from luxury models toward more affordable models. Data recently released from Edmunds showing among new car shoppers surveyed that 48% shared they would prefer their car to cost $35,000 or less, and another 14% reported a budget cap of about $20,000 for their new car purchase. The shift to cheaper rides also due to insurance costs that have grown 50% along with inflation. Reuters, using data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, reports that auto insurance premiums are now reaching a total annual gain of over 22% this year. The only time the auto insurance rate was higher was back in 1976. That's Fox Wheels. I'm Jeff Manosso, Fox News.
On Wall Street, a good day for the Golden Arches as the Dow ends a losing streak.
The major averages kicking off the new trading week higher, with the Dow turning positive for the month as investors get in gear for the busiest week of third quarter earnings reports with a focus on big tech. Most of the 11 S&P 500 sectors ending in the green, with financials the biggest gainers, while energy lagged as oil prices fell. And shares of McDonald's rose over 1% after the fast food chain ruled out that its beef patties were the source of its E. coli outbreak. The Dow winners today, Goldman Sachs, 3M, and McDonald's. The Dow decliners, Boeing, Honeywell, and IBM. The Dow up 273 points and snapping a five-session losing streak. The Nasdaq higher by 49. S&P 500 up 15. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
And local business news from the Wichita Business Journal. There's much uncertainty swirling around Boeing and its biggest supplier, Wichita-based Spirit AeroSystems. This all in the wake of the aerospace giant's West Coast machinists rejecting another contract offer last week and staying on strike. But new plane orders are still arriving. Yesterday, Boeing announced Chile-based LATAM Airlines Group plans to buy 10 787-9 Dreamliners with options for five more planes. The leading passenger and cargo airline group in South America already has the largest Dreamliner fleet in the region. Boeing builds the 787 at a non-union plant in South Carolina, so that production has not been impacted by this strike. The Dreamliner announcement means more work for Spirit, as the supplier's Wichita plant is responsible for the forward fuselage and engine pylons for that plane.
Mennonite Housing Rehabilitation Services, a nonprofit that provides affordable housing in Wichita, has named a new CEO to replace Byron Adrian, who will retire at the end of the year. Angie Mendoza, serving as the organization's director of finance since February of 2023, will become MHRS's first female CEO in its 49-year history, according to a news release. She starts in the role December 23rd. Since its inception, Mennonite Housing says it has completed repairs on 1,200 older homes and built more than 500 new homes in Wichita and surrounding areas for families and elderly residents. And that's a look at local business news this morning from the Wichita Business Journal. With Steve and Ted in the morning, the 29th day of October means that it is National Oatmeal Day. Ted, I'm not a big fan of oatmeal. Maybe it's because nobody ever served it to me with anything on it, just the oatmeal, plain.
Well,
and I guess you got to dress it up. You got to dress it up a little bit, right?
Yeah, I always
add some spices, some nuts.
I always used brown sugar, a little butter, some half and half,
and that makes it.
Hey now,
okay, well. If I ever have a chance.
Yeah, by itself, it's just basically paste.
Well, no wonder I didn't like it. Of course, my mom, when we were growing up, she wasn't big on spicy food, you know, other than a little salt and pepper. That's about as far as she'd go. She wasn't too, you know, it was pretty plain stuff.
Yeah.
But we did all right.
Yeah. All right. You made it.
Yeah. We got all right. 7:55.
It's Stephen good Day. For you.
Yeah. And I just want to say one more time that that I did go to my dermatologist yesterday. I hadn't been in a couple of years, and they could tell they had some spots to freeze, and that's a precancerous condition to get on your arms or forehead. And they do that with me. They've been doing that with me for, what, 12, 13 years now? And because I got out in the sun when I was young, and I didn't take any sunscreen or anything. So be careful out there. And like I say, I've had a couple of cancer removed, and I'm okay. If you get in there and get it done early, you should be just fine.
Good.
So I would recommend that as you get to a certain age or you think you may have something going on, just go ahead and let them take a look at you. You might be really pleased by what happens.
Look at you. You're all good to go.
I feel good today. It was a little, you know, when they first do it, it's kind of like stinging hot for a while. But by the time I had driven home about 20 minutes, I was okay. So there you go.
Nice.
7:56 coming up the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted. As always, we have a lot of great stuff planned for you today. We're going to have the latest on paid parking proposals for downtown Wichita. Ted has sports, as always, right, Ted?
Yeah, we'll tell you about a big-time award for a member of the Kansas City Royals. That's really good stuff. We'll have that coming up in sports.
Plus, entertainment news. The Blur's coming up, too.
Very interesting items coming up. Entertainment news in the Blur. That'll be in 8:35 this morning.
And we have traffic and weather on the way in the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.